Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you so much, Father, for just allowing us to be here this morning. God, giving us our health and our strength and the ability to think and move about. God, praise be to you, God, for this day. I pray that everything that is said today will bring honor and glory and praise to you. And God, that your word will truly be heard. And God, that everyone within the sound of my voice will truly know that you are God. We love you so much. We thank you so much for everything that you do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on in, everyone. Mike and I are going to be teaching the lesson together, and we would be sharing the same podium, but our mics don't like each other. We get just close enough to where we get some reverb, so that's why we are...
We really do like each other. Yes.
Which is interesting, because what we're going to do is talk about diversity today. Wouldn't you know? So, what in the world are we doing talking about diversity? You're not going to find the word diversity in the Bible. It's a secular word. And, you know, sometimes words have a powerful effect on us. Words elicit reactions that are very strong, emotional connections, and we have to be very careful about that. You see, the word diversity, as we'll be discussing it today, means inclusion. It means that different types of people, different races and cultures coming together in a group or organization. So, certainly, the church is an organization. Certainly, the church is a group, so that's why we're interested in this. And as a church, we certainly want to be including every race and people. Amen. So, Mike is going to take over.
Unfortunately, the world we live in struggles with diversity and interactions between different races. Let's look at some statistics. As we can see here, you know, according to the U.S. Religious Landscape Survey, 91% of the mainline churches are populated by whites, while 92% of historically black churches are populated by blacks. And this is just what's going on in the world around us today. You know, there's injustice. There's unequal or unfair treatment. There's a lack of trust. There's the suspicious of others, not trusting others. There's the us versus them mentality. And I kind of brought this one up, know your place. And I just wanted to kind of throw out a personal example of that in my life. You know, back in 98, you know, I got together with some brothers and sisters, and we bought a coffee shop. And I was the only African American amongst that group, and it was in historical Jonesboro, right across the street from the courthouse. And there's a lot of history down there, a lot of history of prejudice. So when we open up the coffee shop and trying to get, you know, our place together, we had the fire marshal come in to kind of sign off on things. And I had to walk with the fire marshal as he was pointing things out to me that we needed to change or get up to code for the building. And as he was walking, you know, he was taking me through a lot of hoops. And after meeting all those codes, he came up to me in my store and spit on the floor and looked at me and said, "How did you become an owner?" And because of that, I got together with the rest of the brothers and sisters, and I knew from that point on, because my name was on the Jonesboro Journal, my face. So I knew from that point on I had to step back, because our business was not going to thrive with me being up front in Jonesboro. So that's just one of the examples. And there are laws required to protect people from prejudice and bias. We have laws in place right now.
So what we see is what's taking place in the world, and we're well aware of these things. We're well aware of prejudice, bias, injustice, and these have a real impact on us individually. And what happens out in the world can have an impact on us as a church when we come into the church. It creates feelings. It creates attitudes, what has impacted us personally. And it can come in. We may be baptized. We may become a disciple. But our feelings and what has happened to us in our background, we can bring right into the church. And what we want to do is talk a little bit about that. What are some of the things that, and remember, this is the shepherding series, what are some of the things that we have been seeing that have come into the church, and we just want to talk about that. And these are things that we haven't talked about, and so we want to share what we're seeing and investigate this, okay? So, one of the things that we see, and again, I am not implying, and I want to be very clear to both members and visitors, that this is pervasive. It's just something that we see. Does that make sense?
Yes.
There have been instances of this. It doesn't mean it's pervasive. So I want to make sure that you understand it. So when I say cliques, that means we have a group of similar interest and background that we're comfortable with. Does that make sense? So you have situations where it's very comfortable for people that are older to hang out with people that are older. People that are younger to hang out with people that are younger. People that have a similar background. So whether it's Hispanics with Hispanics because you have a common language. Does that make sense? Haitians with Haitians, whites with whites, blacks with blacks. We have to be very careful about this. Why does this happen? First of all, because it's comfortable. It's easy. It's something that we relate to. It's something that we quite naturally fall into, because it's more difficult to fellowship with someone that may have a stronger accent, or there may be a language barrier. And so we're not trying to do something wrong. It's just that we fall into more comfortable patterns of fellowship. There is perhaps a trust issue. You know, from what's happened to us in our background, like what Mike has talked about, maybe we're reluctant to open up ourselves because we've had a bad experience. So what does this affect on us as a whole church when there's some instances of this? And we just want to talk about that. The possibility could happen that some of us feel alienated, that we feel on the outside in our fellowship, and we don't want that to happen. There could become invisible walls of separation. No one has said you couldn't fellowship with somebody. No one has implied that. It's certainly not taught, but you could feel that. Does that make sense? We don't want that to happen. It could be that we develop a perception that someone would be difficult to approach or unable to understand us. We need to be thinking about the experience that a visitor might have coming in if they saw that, or if it happened to them. What if they're Hispanic? What if they have a language issue that where it would be harder for me to understand? How would they feel? And sometimes we just have to look at things through a different lens. Remember, in this area, how we're doing personally, our children are going to imitate. So it's very possible our teens could start having cliques. It's very possible our middle schoolers could have cliques, our campus, and we want to watch out for that. Amen?
And there are certain mindsets that we bring into the church as well. Just a couple of examples. You know, I don't need to save for camp. I don't need to save for the swamp. If it was a priority, you would save for it. But knowing that on the back end, the church is willing to help, then our mindset is, hey, and that's just some of us, that the church has got my back. Now, I want to help pay my bills. I want help with paying my bills, but I don't want anyone inquiring about my budget and how I'm doing my budget, because I know that I know what's best for my budget. The thinking that you can be irresponsible with your money, but then reach out for help, thinking that their money is my money. Thinking that someone in the church will provide for me. And it becomes almost like an expectation being given to. But then there's the other extreme. I'm not going to ask for help no matter how bad it gets. God will take care of me. We have benevolence here to help people in the church. And we know that there are situations out here that need some assistance. So we want to be there for each and every individual for that. But we have members that are doing an incredible job of managing their money. And I want to commend those that are doing that. The other thing that I personally see is just a lack of hospitality amongst each other. You know, one thing that will break down the walls is extending hospitality amongst our races. People that are different from us. I know when my wife and I got over here almost 4 years ago, you know, we invited a white brother and sister over our house for dinner. And basically he sat down and he was like, listen, I've been over here 6, 7 years and not one African American has asked me over for dinner. I was hurt. Why are we not hospitable? Does it seem too hard? Does it require too much planning? Or is it something deeper than that? You know, let's get out of our comfort zones and let's show hospitality to one another. Amen?
So, one of the other things that we're seeing is where we can display cultural values over scriptural values. Now, what do I mean by that? Very specifically, that we have our own tastes and likes. Our own tastes and likes may come from that maybe we were brought up in a religious background and we were used to a particular kind of worship. Maybe there was a particular kind of praise. Maybe when we worshiped, we raised our hands. Maybe when we worshiped, we got on our knees. Maybe when we sang praise songs. Maybe when we sang songs without music. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we have these different backgrounds. We come into a fellowship, and we like what we like, don't we? And so those are our values, and we feel a little uncomfortable when we go into another zone. And that other zone is different. And it doesn't feel as comfortable as what we have grown up with or experienced before, or it's just a genuine preference, okay? And it's okay, you like what you like. But when we are in a diverse congregation, we have to have the heart of being given to everyone. Yeah. So that when we come to worship God together, we have the opportunity to praise Him from where we're at.
Amen.
So I encourage my brothers and sisters when I sing without music. I encourage my brothers and singers when I am moving back and forth. That is praising God. Now that's out of my comfort zone, I will tell you. But we have different worship styles that we grew up with. And the fact is, for us to be a diverse congregation, we all have to have a little tension here, a little discomfort. So it's kind of like trying different food. Sometimes you go, you know, that isn't my favorite. But you know what? You're with your family and friends who love it. You're going to be the sharing the meal, right? Because it's who you're with that matters. That's what I'm trying to say. So we have different likes and dislikes. Even when it comes to preaching, I like a thunderous preacher. I like an emotional, loud preacher. I like a calm and quiet preacher who makes very rational points. We have different likes, but we need all of that to be diverse, so that our experience in worship will be one that's encouraging to all men. So we have to be very careful about wanting those things more than the willingness to be inclusive in worship. So there's another thing that we've seen, and brothers, this is going to step on some toes, is politics. The fact is that we don't talk about politics in the church. We don't for a reason, because look what's happening. It's so divisive. There's extreme views, very polarizing views, different sides of things, different leaders. I don't care what leader there is, there's someone that doesn't like them. That's always been the case. But in politics, we cannot have things where we're wearing T-shirts that polarize, or we're posting things on Facebook that make 50% of our congregation go, "What? Why are you thinking this way? You're making me feel bad by expressing these kinds of things, and you know how I feel about it. Why are you needling me? Why are you tweaking me? Because you know I feel different than that." We can't have that. That does not unify us. It separates us. We are diverse. We have different backgrounds and feelings about things. And I do say they're feelings. Because God is greater than politics. God controls these things. What we need to do is what the scriptures say, is pray for our leaders. And not think that we're going to control those destinies. Another thing that we're seeing is that we're losing our diversity. And we need to be real about that. You see, we must reach more of our community. We need more Asians in our congregation. We need more Hispanics in our congregation. We need more whites in our congregation. We need more rich in our congregation. We need more poor in our congregation. We need more single men in our congregation. We need these things so that we can be all things to all men. We're becoming unbalanced and not reflecting the community and the country at large. And God wants all men to be saved. All men. Therefore, we need to be diverse in our evangelistic approach, which means we must be purposeful. We have to look past our ethnicities to this is a soul that needs to be saved. This requires moving out of what is comfortable. We need to reach the people that are scary to us. Maybe what's scary to you is not scary to me. Maybe I like people who have tattoos. Maybe piercings don't put me off. You see what I'm saying? But maybe that scares you. We need to move out of that comfort zone. This is something that we need to really be praying about. And this is something that we need to really, really be purposeful about. So I want to, before we move on to, it's about time for us to move in what the Bible says. How about that?
Amen.
I want to give you just a couple of questions to think about, okay? And we'll talk about this more on Thursday night. These are reflective questions. They're just questions to make you think, okay? So, do I assume that white people are rich? Do I assume that a white person, a black person, or a Hispanic person does not want to be with me or spend time with me? Do I assume that someone from another race cannot understand me or my experiences and what I've been through? Am I able to learn from someone from a different race? Can I accept a challenge from the Word of God when it comes to me through a sister or brother of a different race? If I have a question, can I only go and talk with someone of the same race, especially if they are a leader? Do I assume that because I've had a bad experience with people of another race, that my brothers and sisters will act and treat me the same way? Do I think that members in the church are treated differently based on their color? See, if any of us thinks in some of these ways, there are walls. There's a lack of trust already. There's suspicion. And we need to work through this. So I want you to think about where you're at, and then we're going to look at the scripture. Mike is going to take us there.
Amen. It's time to consider what God wants the church to be like. Let's look at John chapter 13. We'll start in verse 34. It says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." As disciples, we are commanded to love one another. This is how the world will know that we're different. You know, the world can only attribute our being a diverse culture and races that love one another to Jesus Christ. And that brings glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 26. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ." It doesn't matter whether you have money or you don't have money. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It doesn't matter whether you're Hispanic or Asian, black or white. It doesn't matter. We are all saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And we should treat each other like that. God is our creator. He made all of us in his own image. He does not care about things. He cares about us. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 13. It says, "For we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one spirit to drink." Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, we were all put into one body. We are all a part of the body of Christ. And to God, each part is very, very important. And we should make each other feel that way. When we were baptized, we were brought together under one lordship. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Let's look at Colossians 3, verse 11. Here, that is the church, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all.
Amen.
You see, in the church, your past and your background do not matter. That's an amazing statement, because in this list, it's talking about all kinds of different people here. People with unsavory backgrounds, like the barbarians and the Scythians. They were scary folks. If you have repented from the things that you have done in your past, you are a new creation in Christ. You're standing in the community, your religious background, even if you've been part of the very fringes of society, there is no difference to God between us. God has accepted each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit resides in every disciple of Jesus. There is no difference. Let's look at 1 Samuel. Chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." We must stop looking at the outside appearance in making our judgments. We have to look at what's important to God. God looks at the heart. So we need to, God is concerned about our motives and about our inner thoughts. He wants us to be wholehearted in our devotion to Him. Our outside appearance and the things of this world are not important to God. I'm so glad for that.
Amen.
I mean, that is an amazing thing. We shouldn't consider these things either. You see, we call each other brother and sister in the church, and rightly so, because we have the same Heavenly Father. We are sons and daughters of God who has adopted us as His children. We all came in as spiritual orphans in desperate need of a Heavenly Father. And He brought us together in His family. We need to encourage one another, therefore, because in the world, when we're out there during the week, as brothers and sisters, we may not have the same experiences happen to us. We have very many times very different days and weeks because of the world judging from the outside and what the world values rather than what God values. So we need a safe place. We need a shelter. And that's what the church is meant to be, this family of believers, this family of God, that when we come together, we have a safe place, a family time together. We need that time.
We need to be warm and welcoming as people come into our fellowship. And this is near and dear to my heart. When someone comes through that door that has never been here before, what do they experience? Do they experience John 13, 34, and 35?
Right.
We need to be inviting. We need to be loving. And for me, you know, I just want to hold up a couple of groups in here that I feel like really displays that. And a great example of that. And that's our campus, guys. Thank you. When I look at those guys, I love being around them because it helps me to be more like Jesus. Also, our teens. The Bible talks about, in 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And guys, I want to thank you for your great example and in that.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. It says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Reflect on those words for a second. We have so much in common. And we have to believe that. We have the same humanity. We all are a vital part of the body, the church. We have the same Spirit. We have the same hope of salvation. The same Lord. The same faith, the same baptism, the same God and Father of all. We have every reason to be united and accepting each other just the way we are. The Bible talks about in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, it says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Are we accepting one another? Are we really accepting one another?
Turn to John 17, 20 through 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus prayed that each of us should be just like Jesus and his Father. One. United. He prayed that those who believed then and now would be united. He wants us to be one. And this does not happen by accident. We just can't, it just doesn't happen. If it just happened, the world would have done this. It takes work, it takes effort, it takes thought to overcome what's happened to us, how we've been raised, what we've experienced, to come to unity in Christ. It's very purposeful. We have to study through this. We need to work on our thinking and focus on what unites us and appreciate those things that are different about us. The world, remember, focuses on the outward appearance. And it focuses on what it values, but not God. We have to reject these old ways of thinking. You have to really think about how you think about things. And reject what is not consistent with what we've just looked at. We have to get rid of our mistrust. We have to let go of our suspicions. We have to move past the us versus them mentalities. Instead, we need to reach out and share our faith to all men. This means we're going to feel uncomfortable. And we need to accept that. It's okay. It's uncomfortable when we exercise. It's uncomfortable when we diet. It's uncomfortable when we do good things for ourselves to be healthy. This is no different. We need to be uncomfortable for a while, and we'll push through it. The church must reflect the will of God on earth. God wants all men to be saved.
Amen. So, church, this is important for us to be able to influence the world the way that Jesus calls for us to influence the world. I want to commend everyone in here for fighting against what society teaches us and preaches, because we see so much Monday through Saturday. And it's hard to deal with it at times. But as disciples, we've been given a purpose. We've been challenged to follow Jesus, to be like Jesus. You have to understand the impact that you have when you're at work, when you're at school. That people are watching, that they're listening. And we can be so much more effective if we decide to say, you know what? Every day, every hour, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
We are the solution to this lost world, brothers and sisters. We're the only hope. God loves diversity in his church. And he talks about that in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, make disciples of all nations. Let's continue to build God's church the way he intended it for it to build. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to close up. You're going to be dismissed to go get your kids after Steve prays.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we have your word, so grateful that you have the solution for mankind's issues and problems. Father, help us to live up to your standard. Father, help us to have our minds transform in our thinking from what has happened to us in the past, what will happen to us tomorrow. Help us to rise above these things and be united with one another. Help your church to reflect all nations. Father, help your church to grow here in Gwinnett County to reach all men and women of every station. Help us to move out of our comfort zone in the areas that we need to. Father, the things where we have held back because we're just comfortable where we're at. And Father, bless us as we attempt to do these things that we will glorify you through this change. Father, thank you for your son Jesus made this possible for us, that we have received this amazing grace. We pray in your son's name. Amen.